Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I go into this, having to stop and restart our hymn today, I got to tell you a story. A few years ago, I was able to attend the Cleveland Symphony. And the Cleveland Symphony is one of the top five symphonies. And Klaus von Dach, no, I mean, say that three times fast, was a conductor. And they were doing a piece called Pavane for a Dead Princess. It starts with one of the most beautiful French horn solos there is. French horn solos, plays. Oh, it's beautiful. It speaks to your heart. Orchestra comes in. And he had started the solo on a wrong platform, so the orchestra came in an extremely different key, and it was awful. They finished. Now, you got to remember, this is one of the top five orchestras in the world. Von Dach turns around and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we will now play Pavane for a Dead Princess." Turn around and made him play it again.
All right.
I don't care what level you're at, people make mistakes. You just enjoy it. Well, if you notice the name of my sermon today, it's probably a little different. Rejoice and be joyful. Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell you a story about a man. This man had lost his joy. Betty, I was thinking about you when I did this. As for me, I choose joy. He had no joy. The man had become bitter. The love of his life rejected him, and then she had the audacity to die. So then he's alone. So earning money became the only thing he believed in, and it was no matter what the cost was to anybody around him, he got his money. So he hurt everyone around him, his clients, his family, and finally, himself. He had a partner that was the same way, and he had died before him. And his partner was just ornery, angry, and mean as the man. He was mean to his employees. He paid them so little that one of them had children who were going to die because of the old man's meanness. And then one night, he was visited by three spirits. One present, one past, and one future. How many of you have got now? Who am I talking about? Ebenezer Scrooge. But the Spirit showed him that without change, he was damned to. Well, that's why I said today, rejoice, and be joyful. Are you kidding me? Now, in a minute, you're going to hear me sing a song, "Make a Joyful Noise to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." Comes right out of our song from today. How many of you are like Betty and choose joy? Well, we try, right? Okay. But the thing is, the natural human condition is cynicism. I can't do that. It's easier to tear down than it is to build up. Because tearing down doesn't require anything of you. Building requires something of you. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a structure or working with people. So one of the things that we deal with, is God's love and faithfulness for us. His joy in us. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, and with the lyre and the sound of melody. Isn't that beautiful? And the thing is, that's the condition we want to be in. Well, so what's easier? The joy in rejoicing or anger and meanness? Well, Scrooge chose that latter, didn't he? Okay, we all know the story. By the way, I looked up. You realize that was published in 1843? 180 years ago, have people ever changed? No. Were people the same way back in biblical times? People are people. I'm going to tell you a story. My grandmother's sister, my grandmother was Paulina Hermann. Well, there's a good German name for it. Anyway, her sister was Hulda. Anyway, she married Jake Jacob Bates, B-O-E-S-S, lived in South Dakota on a farm. Well, when you go back in time, you know, we're talking about the 1920s, 1930s. There was a lot of animosity between Lutherans and Catholics. Okay? You didn't get along. You didn't intermarry. And Aunt Hilda and Uncle Jake's daughter had the audacity, I'm going to use that word again, to marry a Roman Catholic. And she joined the Roman Catholic Church. He didn't talk to her for 48 years. On his deathbed, he called his daughter into it. And he says, I want to apologize to you because of my stupidity, because of my hatred, because of my anger. I forced you out of my life for 48 years. I have no relationship with my grandchildren. I was wrong. Now that one took a lot to do, didn't it? Wouldn't it have been nice if he had done that before? But the thing is, whenever we have our buttons pushed, his button was the one about marrying outside the religion. We get angry, don't we? And we all have buttons. And the people that are closest to us usually know how to push them the hardest, right? Well, when our buttons are pushed, we react. And usually it's negative, isn't it? But I think the Apostle Paul talks about this in the epistle lesson today. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Well, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, after all, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. I love that, because not only was Jesus the Son of God, but as a man, he had to receive it, and God anointed him. He went along doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to reappear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus taught peace, love, joy, and acceptance both before his death and after his resurrection. Well, I'm going to go back again. Do you think people are any different again? No. They had buttons. They were pushed. They were negative. So how do you keep that from happening? Well, partly it's from choosing not to react. I told Dr. Joyce this morning, because she has a doctorate in psychology, I was going to talk about transactional analysis called TA. Remember back in the 70s, the book came out, I'm Okay, You're Okay? That's TA. When I was in school, I have 33 hours of psychology. I'm only 3 hours short of a degree in it. But back then in the middle 70s, third and fourth year psychology, we talked about TA. Is it all true? Nope. You know, that's what Dr. Joyce and I talked about too. But there are some good things in it. And part of it is not to react, it's to act. Well, how do you act? Well, first of all, you've got to get that reaction out of you. Well, how do you do that? Well, if you're going to be in a situation, if you know a situation makes you angry all the time, instead of falling into that same trap, you got to think, all right, if this happens, I'm going to do this. And what you've done is taken it out of the reaction. Yeah, I could really go into this right now, but I'm not. But we don't want to react. We want to act. Make sense? But you can't do that unless you think about it in advance. Well, what would Jesus like us to do? React in anger or act in peace, joy, love, and acceptance? Well, of course, the latter. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Peggy and I have been trained in a program called The Power of We. We went to two workshops. One was put on by the Ohio District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for a full week. You know, so we're not going to get into something here in a 10-minute or 15-minute sermon that's going to deal with it. But what The Power of We talks about is changing any organization, any family, from an I, me, to a we, us. If you've been to my Bible studies, you know I talk about that a lot. Why? Because we are together. And if we allow I and me to get in the way, even though they're important, then we no longer have the we. Does that make sense? You know, it changes our outlook. Because, boys and girls, I've got a thing to use here. How about that? Me. Okay, me's important, isn't it? But when does me stop being the only thing we operate off and we become this, turn it upside down? Isn't it interesting they both work off the same thing, me and we? And I think that's part of the thing is, too, the power of we is one of those things that we all can do. And the reason I bring this up is this was developed by a man by the name of Dr. David Ludwig. And he is chairman of the psychology department at Lenoir Rhine University in North Carolina. I always have to look it up because I can't remember. Here's the thing. He's also an ordained Lutheran pastor. So we have not only a doctorate in psychology, we have an ordained Lutheran pastor who has put this together. And he's got a book called The Power of We, and that's actually two versions. One's for congregations, the other one's for marriages, okay? And what he does in this is it teaches us how instead of, when somebody's critical, we, instead of reacting to it, we say, tell me more. You know, many times, if somebody's angry, you gotta let them get out before you can talk to them. So let the anger come, you know? You're angry. Tell me more. It's okay. It's hard for us to do, isn't it? Okay. The other thing is, there's two kinds of people. One's a pointer, and the other one's a painter. A painter is the person that has to talk. And we've all seen them. You know, they start talking, and they never stop. Okay. And then you're sitting there, well, what's your point? Well, they don't know the point yet, because they haven't got to it. They don't know it. So then you have that pointer and says, all right, first thing out of my mouth is the point. So why can't you tell me the point? Well, some people can't do that. And so what happens if you have a pointer and a painter talking to each other? Dr. Ludwig calls those oinkies, two pigs with their snouts together.
Oinkies.
Testing, testing. Oh, behave. Yeah, oinkies. And he actually shows it with two pigs. Their snouts together. It's one of those things that's great. But the thing is, you know, I've really been thinking that it's time to do that here. Well, why? Because then we get rid of our fear of communication. If we get rid of our fear of communication, we witness. So it's something I'm going to talk to the board about on Tuesday, and it's one of those things, you know, it's not something we have to do right away. But I think you can see the value of this. Plus, the thing is, Dr. Ludwig, we were able to go to a second town and really have it locked into us. It's good. It really is good. Because take a deep breath and love the person you're with, not hate. You know, Jean Monega, I told her today I was going to mention her in my sermon. You didn't know I was going to preach about her. Yes, you did. She had seven kids. You think she got angry? Yeah, once or twice. But she's got a rule. Okay? Before she opens her mouth, she counts to 10. Girls, did she really do that? What does it say in the Bible that both Mark Twain and Abraham Lincoln used, it is better to remain silent and appear wise than open one's mouth and remove all doubts. Girls, you did very well on that one. You didn't get in trouble. But you see what I'm getting at on here? We hear all this stuff coming from Jesus, but the thing that is tough is the application. I mean, theory is great, and if we want to elicit change, that takes some work on our part, doesn't it? Okay? Is that work worth it? Sure it is. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect. What he expects us to do is try. Yes? I want to share you a message from the gospel here. Overcoming the world. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If we believe, we can overcome the world. I'm going to leave you with this. Jesus said there's two commandments that are important in the new covenant. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbors as yourselves. And again, they're both love, not hate, love. If we try not to get upset or angry with our brothers and sisters, which we do, we're normal people. Or think about this, our parents, our spouses, or our children. Aren't we fulfilling Jesus' goal for us? I think so. So like Ebenezer Scrooge, can we change from anger and hate to love, joy, peace, and acceptance? That's what that story is about. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. With his hope and with his help, of course we can. Let us pray. May the love and acceptance of Jesus help keep your hearts and minds on the peace that passes all human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.